This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They have to put it into the stadium or to the team. So, like, they have that. I mean, you got to think. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, I don't know. How long are these modern stadiums? Like, how long does AT&T Stadium? Like, when it was built, it was Jerry's version of building the Roman Coliseum. Like, I think that stands a long time. Like, SoFi feels like it's something that will last a long time.
Right. I mean, as far as, like, the newer ones that will be here, but protective under, like, they get the right owner or they get the, you know, so much time has passed and we need to upgrade and to have the, like.
Well, so what we're seeing with the Haslams, like, they're, rather than redoing their downtown stadium that's on the water, like, no, they're moving it to a suburb where they can build the entertainment complex around it and have full control.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other problem is, like, owners have also now become, like, commercial real estate. Like, they've always been rich people. But I think that's kind of the other problem is that the people that the amount of wealth that it takes now to own a professional sports team puts them in a different stratosphere of owner where now they're always just going to be able to say, like, I can threaten to move because I have the cash on hand to pay whatever fee. And, like, that's kind of the reality that the Grizzlies are in. You're in this spot where, all right, we can't really like, I do not think psychologically we could afford to lose them. And then I also think, like, especially if we're going to talk about the importance of downtown, like, that's got to be a non-starter. Again, it wasn't like, I was just kind of, it got me thinking about, like, the differences of it feels like arenas go out of date sooner. Like, perfect example, when I went to Dallas in the American Airlines Center, I mean, it's been, I don't know, 10 years, but, like, I'm like, man, this place is awesome. This place is amazing. And basically Cuban was basically, he's like, part of the reasons I wanted to sell is we need a new arena and I didn't want to be the guy that was going to have to lead the fight. And yeah. It's like, arenas just feel like they go out of style and go.
They do. I mean, yeah. And maybe it's because you're, again, I think it's because you're, part of it is the inside part. I mean, that's the distinction you're making already. It's the obvious distinction is that the arenas are inside. And I guess when you're outside, you have less maintenance. You have the great outdoors are adding to a lot of.
But wouldn't you think the outdoor elements would.
Would ruin
yes.
stuff more. Right. You would think so. But that also maybe lowers your expectations of seat comfort. I mean, but yeah, it's the outdoor ones, and most of them are like in college football. College football is a great example because teams don't change. They play at the same place.
Yeah, there's history, and they
still manage. They do renovations. You see it.
Well,
you can't
you can't threaten to move the University of Tennessee outside of Knoxville,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right, and like just so I think you. There's the enjoyment level. Maybe the football, I mean, you don't use them as much, right? The football stadiums, you don't.
They're not the concert venue. They're not the other drivers.
They don't need to be as up to date for that, yeah, versatility of what an NBA-sized arena, which is you know, access a central point for entertainment in any market that it's in.
All right, let's get into the list. When we come back, we have an update about the two fans that interfered with the ball in play with Mookie Betts last night, and it is one of the biggest free spaces of all time. Can't wait to discuss that. We'll do that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 99FM, ESPN. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to be joined, of course, by CJ Hurt, who joins us each and every Wednesday on the program. But before we do any of that, let's get into the list. Let's go with Austin Capobianco. All right, so this last night, if you're wondering who indeed that is, he is one of the two New York Yankees fans that have been now banned from attending Game 5 of the World Series after interfering with the Los Angeles Dodgers star outfielder Mookie Betts in Game 4. The Yankees announced in a statement that the fans, quote, will not be permitted to attend tonight's game in any capacity and added that the incident Tuesday night with Betts was, quote, egregious and unacceptable. A source told ESPN's Jesse Rogers earlier Wednesday that it was not immediately clear whether the ban against Austin Capobianco, a season ticket holder, and John Peter, which I'm still convinced that name is an alias, would apply to any Yankee Stadium games next season. So the story goes that originally the Yankees were basically going to let them come back for Game 5, and then the MLB said no. But this is maybe the single biggest free space that I've ever seen, because we later found out, after being on Up and Adams, Rob Gronkowski recognizes the guy and even went on Twitter or X to say this: Austin was a college friend, very passionate about the teams he represents, will do anything for them, a menace, wild boy as well. He's the person that undoubtedly would say he would do that and then actually do it. Maniac status since college has been confirmed. I think, honestly, the single biggest free space of all time is that those two guys were college buddies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and when Gronk describes you in that manner, you know, you're something.
I mean, I will say, it is an all-time, like, viral moment. Like, I feel like sometimes when we have the quote-unquote viral moments, oftentimes it feels like it's somebody like trying to get famous, and it doesn't feel authentic. But there was something about almost everybody watching last night, and the ratings have been great. Like, they even probably tied Monday Night Football on Monday. But there's something about when everybody, because on Tuesday night there really wasn't a ton else on other than some delicious CUSA game. Shout out to Louisiana Tech and Sam Houston State, who went to the half at 3-2 in a football game. That was special. But there was something about watching that and then just everybody having like the same reaction. And then on top of that, the two guys involved looking like if you were casting Yankees fans in like a comedy, like being the first two guys that you'd bring in into the casting call. Like, there's something about that that made it even better.
Yeah, it's interesting because it always just seems to be the case that the most viral moments or some of the most memorable moments that have been happening, you know, this millennium in this sport, you know, outside of like you're talking about, you know, winning after 100 years or whatever.
But, yeah.
But are the fan involved?
Like, yes.
The fan involvement.
Yes.
And it's baseball. It's always baseball. There's reasons why it's not other sports. It is easier in baseball, but
because like, to your point, like I was thinking about this. There's no real way, like in football, the only interference that you could have is somebody on the sideline, but more than like that's going to be a coach or whatnot. That's going to be somebody part of the game day operation. Like in basketball, we've had like the protests. Like remember when the people during the Timberwolves series came and, like glued themselves to the floor? Like we've had.
Right.
Protest and disruptions, and I guess you could say the same thing in football. Like you have streakers or whatnot. Always the guy that bet on himself to bet on the will there be a streaker, and then tried to cash the bet during the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Yeah, the streakers, definitely the streakers.
But it doesn't feel like there's a way for like fans to actually interfere with a play other than baseball.
I mean, you could do it, and it could happen at some point in basketball, I guess. Right?
I mean, yeah,
those are the...
Usually the people that are sitting on the floor are not the people that want to just go and try and like go post up.
Well, how does that keep happening in baseball? I mean, I guess because you're in the outfield, so you're better seats than what you've got.
I think but it's just are... that you're I don't know, because also it's like there's something about most of the times that you're going to interfere... The ball is in play, but there's not really like in basketball. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to have to take on a 6'7", 240 pounder that runs like a gazelle. Like in baseball, I'm kind of just having to put my glove.
And
standing-
you don't ever take the basketball as a souvenir,
right?
So I think that's a big.
Well, and also like in baseball, even if you're close to the field, like if it's down the outfield, whatever, you're going to be higher than the player. Like you're gonna have the high ground, Anakin.
It's gonna come through your path. While in basketball, like you're gonna have to stand up and reach your arm out to intercept the pass before it would go. It's harder to like technically interfere right. in what could actually be
in game play,
a moment, yeah, in the game. So it doesn't happen in the other ones, but also this in baseball is an unfortunate. I can't do anything about it. I mean, you can't not have people sit there. So.
I guess is this the other aspect of it? If someone enters the field of play, typically in basketball, they're just going to stop the play immediately, and usually in football, they stop the play immediately. Although you can do the let the play out and then sort it out. But like, the thing is in baseball,
you can't stop when the
right. You're not. What are you going to stop the ball?
Home run is in the air, and you're going to
right.
Yeah, yeah. You can't. There's not much of the. It's not a clock sport, or it wasn't until recently.
Correct. That was the other thing I was watching back in 04. It's like when Dave Roberts got on base in game 4 and everybody knew he was stealing, like there's this weird recognizing, like Mariano Rivera's strategy of holding him on was like holding the baseball for like an uncomfortable amount of time. It's like, well, now the pitch clock gets rid of that.
Right.
And then the other thing that was still, it was weird how I was thinking how this was before we made the base coaches wear the batting helmets. So they were just wearing baseball hats. Like they were just wearing the hats. It's weird how when you first saw the coaches wearing the batting helmets, you're like, well, that's weird. Now we flip to the point where it's weird going like, wait, those guys aren't wearing their helmets?
Right.
Like you go back to think it's like and that's not that far. What that's like 20 years?
Yeah. Not at all.
GG Jackson. All right, so this happened apparently on today on our good friend Chandler Parsons' show that he does with Michelle Beadle and Lou Williams. This was quite the moment. Memphis Grizzlies forward GG Jackson had an interview with FanDuel TV's Run It Back on Tuesday, and he attempted to do it from the bathroom. Before the interview started, the panel, consisting of Beadle, Chandler Parsons, and Lou Williams, teased Jackson's guest appearance before going to the commercial break. When they saw him seemingly perched on the toilet, the cast rightfully burst out laughing. Are you in the bathroom, man? Williams asked. Is that the best spot you could find, sitting on a toilet? However, the show returned from commercial break, Jackson had relocated to find a new, slightly more television-appropriate room, but the panel wasn't letting him off the hook just yet. Hold on. Okay, GG Jackson's back on the show, Beadle said. We will get to all things, but why the change of scenery? What happened? Gigi explained, definitely got a text from my dad and mom in the group chat to move, so I had to sprint downstairs real quick. So he was not, it sounds like, to me, he wasn't bullied by the panel to get off the toilet. He was bullied by his parents. That's great parenting.
Yeah, watching live. What are you doing in the bathroom? I mean, I think it was the bathroom. It had great lighting in there. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why he decided.
Well, honestly, you know what my first thought was?
Yeah.
Where he gets the best reception.
What best reception, yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, he had to know it was a video interview, so there was no, like, he was not going to be on camera and do the interview.
And it's also one of those ones where, like, it looked like he just went, like,
He was not using
the
bathroom.
Toilet was just a seat, literally.
You could see the shower in the background, so you knew it was.
I mean, there is the argument: your voice always sounds best in the bathroom.
What is that? What do you mean? Like when you're singing in the shower?
Yeah, same thing.
So he's the one with taking that to the next level. But it's so cool. Like for Gigi, especially for these moments to happen, like how memorable it is for the panel and anybody who
Correct.
Tuned in, and like you kind of have. Something about the personality and just this connection with the family, because that's also just like, you know, you got to remember this, and we're early in the season, but you know, these are real people, and they got, you know, their families watching and they're proud of them, and like, oh my goodness, what's he doing in the bathroom?
Just an all-time great moment. So shout out to Gigi is the
highlight of the season so far. Gigi Jackson in the bathroom.
I do feel like Gigi is quietly the king.
What a sentence to say, by the way.
Yeah, king of the throne. He's the king of the throne, if you will.
Or, yeah, yeah.
Sitting on the throne.
Sitting on the throne.
I think he's quietly the king of like the inadvertent hilarious moment.
And that's
Because like what we're talking about, when some people go viral, it feels staged. Right. That didn't feel staged.
That did not feel staged. Because he's laughing. He feels like somewhat embarrassed, but also having a good time and not like it's a cool clip. If you haven't checked it out, you can find it. It's all over everywhere. So the viral moment of the NBA today so far.
All right. Jets and Texans. All right, Kevin, I know you're not the world's biggest gambler, but this is one that my brain is broken on. I think I found the biggest rat line of the NFL this year. The Jets, who are sitting here at 2-6.
Yes.
And those two wins are over the New England Patriots, who have two wins, one of which is against the Jets, and the Tennessee Titans, who have one win.
And they're done. They're done playing for the year, even though they do have some games.
Correct. The Houston Texans are 2-point underdogs. Granted, it is on the road, and it's Thursday night football. Also, Stephon Diggs now out for the year with an ACL, and Nico Collins not going to play. While the Texans' offense has not been otherworldly, I still cannot believe that we're sitting here and
the Jets are favored.
Right.
This
is a trap. It's like, why are the Jets favored?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
It's also important. Like, I looked at this the other thing. I looked at the Texans injury report thinking like, oh, CJ Stroud's going to be on there. He's not. Like, if CJ Stroud's hurt, it's like, okay, well, yeah, I get that. But how on the earth are the Jets favored in any game?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. Is there a bias at all for New York teams ever when it comes down to the spread that you see coming out of Vegas? Is that a realistic thing? That because it's the Jets, but if it was any other team,
I think maybe early in the season I could see that because Rodgers.
But now we know who they are.
Correct. Yeah. Like, you're not paying like the Cowboys tax, if you will.
I mean, they should at least be a 1-point dog in this game, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, like, I'm looking over at Wager Talk, 77% of bets, 86% of money is on the Texans, and the line has moved from 1.5 to 2 in favor of the Jets. It's like, what am I missing here? This one truly has me baffled.
Would you recommend? Somebody said, what should I do in this game? Avoid it?
Yeah, I would say obviously. I'd say don't bet it, but like, spirit of full disclosure, like, the same thing happened to me in UCF BYU on Saturday, and I took UCF. That was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing I can think of is like, it is a bad line. The Jets just don't meet expectations. But like, while the Texans offense hasn't been,
the thing is, if it's the Thursday night football game, Jeffrey, why else are you going to watch it here? Yeah. Maybe it's Halloween because it's Halloween. Can't forget it's Halloween tomorrow. Maybe Halloween factors in here with something.
I mean,
I don't know what.
The only thing that makes sense to me, the Jets are wearing black jerseys on Halloween.
They are.
So I don't know if that's worth like.
I don't think that
points.
Changes. Yeah, I don't think that changes much of the scouting report to break down the. But
like, I mean,
I mean, there's definitely a factor to that.
I'm just hoping we like find out tomorrow. Like CJ Stroud's been in bed, like sick. Because I look,
you don't think the spread would be even.
That's the only reason why the spread would look like it does. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's get back and talk some Grizzlies. We'll do that with CJ Hurt next of Grind City Media. But before we do that, I want to remind you that the list has been brought to you by our good friends at Birdies, Memphis's number one spot for virtual golf, 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. There's still 2 days of Golftoberfest. That means you book online and you enjoy half off standard golf rates all month long. Don't forget, if you're planning your holiday party or event, even if it happens in November or December, as long as you book over the next 2 days at golfatbirdies.com, you will still get the standard half off pricing that you get.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For Golftoberfest. Follow them on Instagram at Birdies901 for all the latest news and specials. golfatbirdies.com. We come back. CJ Hurt joins the program. Stick around. You're listening to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ Hurt is, of course, a Grind City media personality. You can see him each and every weekday morning on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. You can also check out the HBCU Huddle on Grind City Media. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at ConRadicalness. CJ, let's start here. I started the show. Let's put Monday aside. Are we in an agreement there's no excuse to losing tonight?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't like making those type of proclamations 5 games into the season.
They're on the second night of a back-to-back.
And they played overtime.
Correct.
They played overtime the night before. Played overtime the night before. I will say I like the Grizzlies' chances tonight. But listen, it's sports, man. Weird things happen. I'm not going to freak out or panic if the Grizzlies lose tonight. Will I be disappointed? Yeah, but it's game 5 of an 82-game season. So there's, what's the math on that, 77 more games left? Teams, Hubie Brown used to say, there are 10 nights when no matter what happens, no matter who you're playing against, you're going to win that game. Stuff is just going your way. There are also 10 nights where no matter what happens, no matter who you're playing, things are not going to go your way and you're going to lose those games, right? So this could be one of those bad 10 nights, not one of the regular nights that could go out there and happen. But they got to figure out the third quarter. They've got to figure out and make sure they're doing a better job rebounding. They got to do a much better job defending the three if they're going to come out of here with a win. I just don't view it as a no excuse type proposition.
I think there's a difference between no excuse and must win, right? It's not a must win, but it's like if you lose, you have no excuse to lose this one based off of the situation at hand. You're talking about the QB says like the situation out of your control here for the Nets. It's out of the Nets' control that the game went to overtime. They had to get on an airplane. They had to travel, and they're playing back to back. In all types of each one of those boxes you check off of, ooh, that's not great, that's not great. The Nets are coming in at a huge disadvantage, not only situational, but talent-wise. So, like, you don't really have an excuse. You don't have to win it. Still, yeah, you can still have great success and go to the NBA Finals if you lose. But not really an excuse. You can't make an excuse to lose this one.
Yeah, but, like, what are we saying here? When we say no excuse, it is, oh, no, we're coming on. Everybody's going on their show the next day just bashing what has happened. Like, there's got to, at some point, be some type of perspective on, hey, there's a new system in place. Guys still got to figure that out. God, while you're figuring out the new system, you're also playing much, much faster than you've ever played. You got to figure that part out as well. I don't want to make excuses. They should absolutely go out here and win this game. I just feel like when we say no excuses, it's grounds to start lighting into the Grizzlies as a team, as a roster, as currently constructed, and I don't think it's grounds for that 5 games into the season. That's my only qualms with the no excuses part. Should they win this game? Yes. Should they win comfortably? Yes. If they don't win, the sky is falling. We got to start talking about firing coaches and trading players. I don't think we're there yet on the season.
Would you agree if they did, there's uncomfortable questions tomorrow?
It's 5 games into the season. What are we doing?
Yeah, but then you would have been back-to-back home losses, blowing a 20-point lead, and then blowing, you know, however it would occur. There's really no way to say that tonight wouldn't be another bad loss. And then I think it invites questions. To your point, I'm with you because I think there's already been way too much panic early. But this is one of those ones where it's like, if they don't win this game, then I'm starting to have like, all right, what's going on here? Like, I get it. Historically under Taylor, they've not been great defensively early. They still wind up being a top 10 defense. They get better as the season goes on. But there is like some, all right, are we playing the right guys? Is the minute distribution right? Are the rotations right? Like, I think if you were to lose to the Bulls and the Nets back to back at home, I think that's going to invite some questions you don't want tomorrow, even though it has no bearing on the rest of the season. I am with you on that.
I think that, yes, while losing to the Bulls and Nets back to back at home is less than ideal. Like, that's downright bad. This is the time of the year when I want my experimenting to happen, though. So So I hear and see things on Twitter and from Grizz fans about the rotations and things of that nature. Hey, yo, first five games, first 10 games of the season, first couple of weeks of the season, let's see what dudes have. Let's give every – we think we have this in player X. Let's see if that's what we actually have. Let's give them a chance to play themselves out of the lineup or play themselves into the lineup the first handful of games of the season. And then right around December, you brought up Taylor Jenkins and slow starts. Right around December is when these teams under Taylor Jenkins typically take off. Right, right around December is when the three-point defense gets a whole lot better and when the wins just start rattling off and start rolling. And I feel like that is by design. I feel like Taylor Jenkins and the coaching staff that he has very much in the let's see what we have in guys, let's give them a chance, let's put things on film, let's see how quickly they learn and if they can keep up. And then it is, all right, these guys, these handful of guys over here can play, these guys can't, they're breaking case, break glass in case of emergency players. We know what we have here and there, and then we can see about the rest of the season as the rest of the season pops off. But I understand tough questions will be asked by fans. I'm not sure if tough questions are going to be asked by the front office. Taylor yeah. Jenkins was very, very upset. Very, very upset, and we all would say rightfully so. Following the loss to the Bulls, with the way the team played defense, he felt like the team sort of let go of the rope on the defensive end, so to speak. And so let's see if they come out with a renewed focus on that side of the ball. I get it. You blow a 20-point lead. People get frustrated, but you say 20-point lead and fans will say 20-point lead. And it's like, wait a second, that 20-point lead was in the first half. It's not like they blew a 20-point fourth-quarter lead. You know, 20-point leads don't mean what they used to mean in the NBA with everybody taking the amount of threes that they take in today's game. A 20-point lead in today's game, that's five shots, and you're a one-score game, right, or a two-score game, excuse me, in five shots. So that's not that large of a lead, in today's game. But listen, everybody's entitled to do what they're entitled to do. You don't get to be a fan by being reasonable. You get to be a fan by being fanatical, and that's what Grizz fans are. I love the passion that the city of Memphis has for the team and the desire they have for this team to do well.
Do you think the third quarters, do you think the issue is real, or do you think it's a sample size problem?
It's a sample size problem, but oh boy, I would really like for that to get fixed quickly. I think everybody would like for that to get fixed sooner rather than later. They're just so bad in the third quarter, even if it is a sample size problem. As bad as they are in the third quarter, that makes me uncomfortable. I know it makes Grizz Nation uncomfortable as well. I saw the Michael Cole tweeted it out. The Grizzlies in the first quarter and the second quarter are second in the NBA in scoring. And then the third quarter, they're dead last. In the fourth quarter, they're 27th in the NBA. So that's third from last. There are some things that they've got to figure out in the second half of games for sure.
Do you have a theory?
Do I have a theory? Oh, yeah, I got a theory on anything, man. Hell, yeah, I keep my third eye all the way open.
Let's hear it.
My theory is you go into the locker room and you get stiff and you come back stiff and out of rhythm. They're playing so fast up and down the court that they need to get a better, I guess, second half warm-up routine to get everybody loose and ready to go in the second half. Also, another theory, they're not eating enough Uncrustables. They got to eat more Uncrustables.
Get on that Broncos regiment.
Everybody's got to get them three or four Uncrustables in the system. And it gives you the energy to start a little bit faster. An Uncrustable, everybody get three or four Uncrustables and a five-hour energy shot, and let's make it happen.
Hey, CJ, I can't help but notice this. I think I can hear some wind in the background. Are you walking around? I'm surprised you're not doing the interview this week from your bathroom.
No. Wait, why would I do it from my bathroom? I'm sitting outside of FedEx Forum right now. It's just a nice day out. You missed the sirens. The downtown sirens was going off. But, yeah, now I'm sitting outside.
The 3:30 on a Wednesday. Yeah, make sure to always.
Did you not see Gigi originally take his phone call with our good friend Chandler Parsons?
Oh, that's what Gigi was in the bathroom?
Yeah, he was in the bathroom.
Shout out Gigi and Gigi's bathroom.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
His parents then texted him and bullied him, said, get out of there. He went. So I did kind of respect that. I don't hate that theory, because my first thought was, okay, you can mentally, I was thinking more from the other team perspective. You can mentally say, all right, we know the Grizzlies are playing with more pace, and it hits you early, and then at halftime, I was thinking, all right, you can kind of make the adjustment, but I think that kind of goes hand in hand with your thing. Is I would be curious to know, like, are they still playing? Like, it feels like it takes a half maybe to adjust to their pace, and that would make sense to me that you could adjust in the third quarter from the other team's perspective.
Yeah, that might be it. From a more logical standpoint, it's a game of adjustments. It's a game of runs and a game of adjustments. And in the second half, teams are, the Grizzlies are just trying to run. If we can take care of the ball, this is a defensive issue. If you take care of the ball against the Grizzlies right now, you're getting the shots that you want. The Grizzlies really want to ramp up that ball pressure. And I've seen them play more full court sort of defense, not necessarily a press, but picking up full court. I've seen that more through four games this season than I feel like I've seen through most years under Taylor Jenkins and L, to be honest, in Grizzlies franchise history as well. So I think eventually you say, okay, we're going to be strong with our ball, we're going to take care of it, and then we're going to make them play defense for longer than 12 seconds, and let's see how they hold up. So that the adjustments being made by the opposing teams, probably the better reason, but I like my uncrustable theory.
No, I think
the kids are uncrustable.
I just think it kind of goes hand in hand. Like, yeah, hey, man, stiffen up, get those uncrustables. It's, you know, see if you can tackle the Broncos number that they've been putting up. They put up like something like 700 a week. It was something absurd like that. But I guess that I am with you, though. I still think I care less about, honestly, the offense right now. I don't know if this is the most they've ever given up, but 53 threes. So I looked this up over on the NBA, on the NBA stats page. When you do the shot dashboard, of the 53 threes, 41 of them did not have a defender within 6 feet or more, and another 8 of them didn't have a defender within 4 feet. So it was 49 out of 53 three-point attempts were basically wide open. And it's like, why do you, it's one thing to, all right, listen, like, leave an open guy, but it's like, that is so many open threes that you sit there and go like, how does that happen?
And that was the frustration from Taylor Jenkins, right? That's the gripe he has about how hard they've been playing defensively. Some of that is just an effort thing.
Yeah.
There were plays where players, one got lost on rotation, one. But you can't get lost 49 times.
Right.
There were players who saw the dude get lost on rotation, saw the ball where the ball was about to go, and instead of sprinting out to try and contest, they just sort of stood there in the paint and watched the shot go up. Right? Like that can't happen. Defense is a large chunk of defense in the NBA and in college, high school, middle school, rec league, basketball, church ball, a large part of defense is wanting to play defense. Do you want to go out there and compete on that end of the court? And if you're giving up 49 wide open threes, that says to me that you don't want to compete on that side of the court, which then says to me that we got a bit of a problem. So I'm interested in seeing how the Grizzlies respond as a team to what Taylor Jenkins, to pretty much a pissed off Taylor Jenkins in press conference after the loss to the Bulls. I think they're going to come out and respond defensively at a really high level. I'm not saying they should win, but I feel confident in them coming out there and being a whole lot better defending the three tonight than they were against the Bulls.
All right, we'll wrap here. What have you seen so far that you like the most?
Jay Huff.
Yeah.
Oh, good grief. I didn't know that. Jay Huff's so good, he might make me start watching preseason basketball. Like, yo, I didn't know if we had one of those dudes coming through. A 3-and-D big, a 3-and-D 7-footer, somebody who can contest shots at the rim, defensive player of the year in the G League, a high level, high volume, high percentage 3-point shooter and maker, at a center spot. Whoa, the things you can do now with Jaren and him on the court. And then you can decide, hey, you know what? We can go Santi and Jake. We can, when Vince comes back, we might can go Vince and Gigi in that second unit with Huff, and then throw Jaren out there as well. Like, that's so much fun, because the NBA, you need size and length and shooting, and sometimes you're sacrificing the shooting for the size and the size for the shooting. But Jay Huff allows you to keep both on the court at all times, and I really, really enjoy seeing that.
Yeah, I'm with you, because every time you watch him play, you're like, wait a minute, why wasn't this guy in the league? It's like it's not as if, okay, this guy's got an unusual skill set that somebody would need to figure out how to utilize best. It's like, he does all the things you want the modern big to do. He can shoot the three, he can block shots, he can play, like, he can pass. Like, that's what has always just blown my mind. It's like, why was this guy just toiling around? Nobody picked him up?
Yeah, that's crazy to me also. But I guess you think about the teams where he was with the Lakers,
yeah,
and the Nuggets, and they seemed,
yeah, that's
both
fair.
Of those teams seemed to have pretty good front court depth. So maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But I'm glad that he fell to the, yeah, Grizzlies, boy. He's been a true delight. I don't know why my man refuses to just dunk regular, why everything got to be a reverse. But I do enjoy watching it.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it, man.
Appreciate y'all.
That is CJ Hurd, of course, of Grind City Media. You can check him out on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd. Also, the HBCU Huddle, that's available on all Grind City Media platforms. We come back. We will tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kevin, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we go to Vanderbilt Basketball and their new head coach, Mark Byington. Vanderbilt Basketball has every player listed as a point guard, which is intentional. This is from Joey Dwyer on X. Mark Byington has said in the past that he wants multiple guys to think and act like point guards on the floor. I mean, there are different positions for different reasons. Didn't get to this story, but quickly wanted to get your thoughts. We are getting our first Buc-ee's. It's not coming to the Memphis area. It's not going to be like out east. I thought like around exit 25. It's going to be in West Memphis.
That's the spot for it, for sure.
How fired up are you?
I have not been, so I kind of have to go by the time that one opens. But I know you like it.
I'm a fan. I was very overwhelmed at the experience. As a retail guy, and I wasn't even like most overwhelmed by the bathrooms. It was simply the merchandising, the fact that nothing was out of place. The food options were amazing. Overwhelming experience. They also have great logo, I mean, brand.
West Memphis makes a ton of sense, right?
For sure.
You're rebooting that stretch of I-40 if you get across, yeah, through the country. Like, start with the Buc-ee's right there.
And with a new bridge. Yeah. New bridge and a new Buc-ee's.
Oh, my goodness. We'll have continuing coverage of the new Buc-ee's as it gets closer and closer. There's also the other one that they're building, so we're going to be surrounded. No excuses not to
no
go.
No excuses. Want to thank CJ Hurd for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.